korkun kalkı trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Tuni sonsun hukçum dur bu lan. Dağdaş doğdan dur bu da moro da.
All good. Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, here with Sean McCorkle and Bang. We got a great show. We were supposed to have Vince, but his air conditioning blew out, and then Ween Dog canceled. And then I was supposed to come on for 5 minutes, do the McCorkle minute, and I was like, I got no guests. I realized I forgot to tell Shang, but we pulled it together. That's what we do, people. Okay.
That's what you do. You pull together.
You fucking roll with the punches.
Right. Okay? And then you use your elbow, and then once you get in, you spin, you hit them with the.
Sometimes life gives you lemons, and then you make lemonade. So, here we go. Man, it's been a crazy, crazy day. First of all, I don't know if you saw the news. Mayhem Miller got arrested. People have been blowing me up about that. I feel terrible. Look, I love Jason Miller. He was.
You feel terrible.
Of course, he was one of my best friends.
You know what I feel like? Inevitable. It was inevitable.
Look, Jason obviously was one of my best friends, and we did the podcast together, and we were killing it. We were killing the podcast, but unfortunately, not to take the blame off Jason, but this pandemic has really fucked up a lot of people who have drug problems in the past.
I agree. He's like, you're right.
The third person that I know that has allegedly relapsed, or my friend's wife passed away. One of my best men at my wedding. One of them, his wife passed away from alcohol poisoning. It's just a horrible time. So if you're watching this and you have a drug problem or you have a substance problem, get help. Please get help. Now, when Jason was on the show, we were killing it. Right when he got out of jail, it was the best. And sober Jason is the best. He's smart.
Oh, I've hung out with him multiple times. And yeah.
Smart, funny, humble, witty, on it. And then, he got out of the sober living, and he was living with some, I'm not going to get into his personal stuff, but
right.
You got to make sure you surround yourself with the right people. And also him also sometimes isn't the right people. He could also be on the other end of that. Like, so sometimes people don't. So anyway, without really getting specifics, it was only a matter of time. And I saw that on the show, and the fans got mad at me. They're like, what the fuck, man? Why isn't Jason on the show? And I could see something was completely different from when he first. And I just, I kept seeing it and kept seeing it, and it broke my heart. I mean, I couldn't sleep for days. My wife was like, I've never seen you so depressed over something. And I'm like, over someone. I'm like, this guy's one of my best friends. I love the dude. He's my guy. And then I was getting texts from all different kinds of people just telling me horror story after horror story after horror. You know, I had a Zoom comedy show. He crashed it, started heckling the comics. And
he was
rocker that night. And it was just one thing after another. People that he was coaching were hitting me up. His exes were hitting me up. It was just a disaster. And so now he's in jail.
What was he arrested for?
Now for car theft, amongst other things. And it just sucks because sober Jason is the best.
No, I hung out with him when he was sober a couple of times. And when I hung out with him, he seemed fine. But I could see that helter-skelter shit in his eyes.
No, and that's
behind it, I'm about to do some crazy shit. Then I go, you know what? Gotta leave. I got kids. Don't have time for this shit. And then I bounce.
And that's the thing, man. When he got out of jail, I got him a job. And I got him a coaching job. And I offered him to stay here. Hey, man, you need to stay here. And I was trying to put money in his pocket. And I was making phone calls for him. And I was trying to get him this, that. And I was talking every night. And then slowly I could see the unraveling. And the conversations were getting crazier and crazier and crazier. And it was just like, oh, man, what the fuck do I do?
And the thing is, I mean, as a fighter, I think that, he's done some amazing stuff. He's beat some people that you go, what the fuck? Good for him. I just think that he always had that, at least from the time I hung out with him, it just seems like he's always leaning towards the dark. Then, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Of course it does. And I don't want to disrespect him by saying this, but I was getting like a lot of texts from people telling me what he was doing, and it was, and none of it was good. And I reached out to him, and I don't know.
He just leans towards the dark, man, and I think that eventually it was going to catch up with him. At least, I haven't seen him in a long time, but when I did see him, I just thought, something is going to happen with this dude. And I wasn't, not a diss, I just thought, and I don't know if I want to be around when it happens.
No, I'm happy that he didn't hurt anybody right now. He didn't physically hurt anybody. He didn't physically hurt himself. And hopefully he gets out of jail and he keeps his life together. And I'll always be his friend. I'll always be his friend. Sean?
Oh, he was super chill, but I think that the drugs, you know how some people can drink and or they'll drink and take drugs and they're kind of just funny and cool, but they're not destructive? Then there's other people that take drugs and you can tell they're about to just...
No, yeah. I mean, he told me, and I go, Jason, when you're sober, you're the best, but when you're not, and he goes, I'm terrifying. I mean, he told me that.
Oh, he said it himself?
Yeah, because he's extremely witty and smart, and he's got so much going for him. And that's what's so painful about it, is that you see the potential. And this podcast itself, I think, could have been the number one. Look, I could have been the number one podcast in the world. We were killing it. And then all of a sudden, it was out of control. And not just on the show, but off the show and after the show. And I was, and it's hard. You're right. I got a wife and a kid, and I can't be dealing with that shit. I got a 2-year-old. I have a baby. I have a literal baby that needs me. I can't be.
I think like that constantly. When I think about doing something wrong, when I've thought about knocking people's heads off, I just go, you know what? This ain't worth it. I got to get home. I'd rather be home watching cartoons. Like, I literally, that runs through my head.
And Jason has a huge heart, huge heart. And that's the most upsetting thing. He's not a bad person. When he's got his shit together, he's the best. But when he doesn't, you don't know what the fuck's going to happen.
And also,
the name Mayhem gets him a get out of jail free card. Because he's like, oh, it's Mayhem. But it doesn't. You're in jail again. It's like, bro, you just did a year and a half. You just did a year and a half in jail. Like, come on. Sean.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, even as a fighter, I think him as a fighter, when I would look back at it, I looked at a bunch of his fights before. He's got so much potential. I think that he derails himself, but it's not his potential or talent. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
100%. 100%. Sean.
Yeah, I don't know. Me and Mayhem used to not like each other because I told him to get off Kimbo Slice's nuts back in the day before I was in the UFC. Because, like, he wanted to be black more than anybody I've ever seen in my life, like back in the day, like Mayhem did. And
I didn't talk to that. And
told him it wasn't all cracked up to be, right? But, no, he – so I told him to get off his nuts, you know, or whatever. And then we went back and forth, me and him, for a while. But I always liked him. I mean, I had no problem with him. And I was actually excited when he was doing the Bully Beatdown show and then he got in that movie the MMA movie with Bossy Root, and I never saw it, but I saw it. I thought he was really really going good, you know, and then he flipped out on Ariel's show, which I thought was all just a marketing ploy, but apparently it was legit. So I don't know, man. He's always talked about it struggling with his mental health, and that's a tough thing, man. You mix that with drugs, it's not going to go anywhere but down, you know?
You're right. You're so right, man. I think that there's some fighters that I was watching this thing called War Machine, you know?
Yeah.
And I was watching, it was like, even in situations like that where you can see it coming, and if you don't have people that can prevent it, there's nothing you can do. So, Adam, I think that you should feel like you've done what you could. But there's a certain point where if you're drowning and somebody keeps pulling you down under the water, you got to let go. You got to let go.
100%. 100%, man.
And I think even with this, you knew, because I talked to you, you knew when he was starting to derail. And you said the show will end up derailing because of his derailment.
Dude, we had long talks at night, and it was insane. And the things he was saying, and it was so frustrating because you see how good he can be, and then you saw this person, and you were just, it was Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, complete Jekyll and Hyde. So anyway, best of luck to Jason. Please get sober. Please get out. I'll be there for you again. As long as you're sober and you're taking care of yourself, I'll always be there for you, man.
Yeah.
I think he knows that. He'll always have a friend in me. Now, let's talk about some fights that got made. Bryce Mitchell, who is undefeated. He's the kid who wears camo.
Camo
from, like, Arkansas. Him versus Touchy Feely got made. Interesting fight. T- tough fight. I mean,
tough fight. I would say tough fight. I think that I don't know. I mean, he does have that, you know, move forward style that I don't give a fuck style.
Well, he's amazing on the ground. This Bryce Mitchell kid. He always has like put the twister, but Fury has fought the better competition and is better standing up. This is a tough one. This is one of those things.
If it stands, he's going to lose. You know that.
Sometimes I wonder the UFC. I'm excited for this fight, but the UFC, like you can't fault them for trying to protect their so-called stars or up-and-coming stars. I mean, they threw O'Malley to the wolves, Chito Vera, and now this Bryce Mitchell kid is a bona fide star, and Touchy Feely is no gatekeeper. I mean, I think he could win a championship. This is going to be a tough one. Sean.
Yeah, I've never gotten that matchmaking. You know, back in the day, a lot of people don't know this. Roger Huerta, he was the same agent as me, Monty Cox, and the UFC basically, like, Monty went to him and said, hey, I got a good-looking kid. He can fight. He's new to the game, this and that. But he said, if we build him, he can be a huge star in Latin America, you know? And they built him the right way. They had him fight four or five first-time UFC guys, like their first-time UFC. Get him to 5-0 in the UFC and whatever he was, 12 or 14-0. He's on the cover Sports Illustrated. And then he starts saying he's tired of hearing about how he doesn't fight real competition. He wants to fight somebody real. He wants this or that. And Monty was telling him, like, you really don't. There's no easy fights in the UFC, but always take the easiest one. That's what Monty always told me. You always take the easiest one because everybody can fight, you know? So the UFC built him the right way. And then he got mouthy about it, wanted somebody real. So they gave him somebody real and he got beat. I can't remember who it was, but I remember he got beat. Did well, but he got beat, and then you kind of never hear from him again, you know, after you lose a couple. And I wish the UFC wouldn't do that, like with O'Malley or with those guys so soon, man. Like, what's wrong with – I mean, there's no guaranteed win in the UFC, but give him some time, man. Like, you don't always have to – it doesn't always have to be number one versus number two, you know what I mean, or always, you know, like it's got – I don't know.
What? No, you got to – no, I've listened to what you're saying. Are you serious? No. Well, in the situation with O'Malley, you can't front. He did – he started teeing off on him a little bit, but as soon as you saw his foot curl underneath, I thought he's hopping around. You can see him being ginger on his foot. I think O'Malley, he talked himself into that shit.
No, but he is, first of all, I don't even think you can judge how good he is based on that. A guy breaks his ankle.
You can.
But no, but.
Yeah. I think O'Malley wins that fight regardless, if not for the injury. But I mean, just.
People get injured. But.
But Sean, isn't there a fear of it becoming like boxing and they do that? Like all of a sudden a guy's 30 and low, but hasn't fought anybody?
Well, the problem is everybody in the UFC is good, though. So it isn't like in boxing you can fight homeless guys. I had a guy approach me one time.
You said you can fight a homeless guy.
Yeah, I mean, I had a guy approach me. He was with Top Rank Boxing, and they had seen my interviews or something. It was early in my career. I wanted to know if I was interested in boxing. He said, listen, we can get you in there against, literally said, we can put you in there against 30 homeless guys, you know, or whatever. 30 guys you can't fight, I'll get you a 30-0 record. We can get you $1 million payday, and then they take half at that point or more, but they get you a bunch of wins. So you don't want it to be like that. But at the UFC level, there is no easy fight. You know, we see upsets all the time. So I just wish they wouldn't be in such a hurry to – it feels like everybody gets pushed too fast. You know what I mean? I fought Mark Hunt my first fight, and then they want me to fight Stefan Struve my second one. I'm like, guys, I've only been training full time for like a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like a year, like calm down. But it's, yeah, I mean, I don't know. They always say the best will win eventually anyway, but that's not always the case. You know,
there's no easy fights, but isn't there a way that they sometimes like put you up against a guy who's really past his prime? So he's like a name, but he's like, a 43-year-old Diego Sanchez, which doesn't even always work. I mean, look what happened against the kid who beat Sage Northcutt.
Mickey Gall, yeah.
Beat
Mickey Gall, yeah.
Yeah, but there's a way that they can sort of finesse it, right?
They do that, and the thing that stinks about that is the guy like Diego, there's nothing in it for him. If he's fighting when I fought, I beat Mark Hunt, lost to Stefan Struve, but then they wanted me to fight Christian Warcraft, who no one had heard of, but he almost killed Stefan Struve, who beat me. You know, so I was like, in his one fight in the UFC, I was like, can I have anyone else but him? Because nobody knows who he is. And they're like, they came back with Shane Carwin. I said, okay, deal. And they're like, you want to fight Shane Carwin? They thought they were going to bully me into fighting Warcraft. I was like, I'd rather fight someone known than someone unknown if I'm going to take a chance on losing. But then they said, what's his name, said the same thing. Shane Carwin said the same thing. What does he have to gain by beating me? Because I wasn't as known as him. So it's kind of tough. But like Robbie Lawler's fighting a guy I've never heard of coming up. That really surprised me.
Neil Magny?
No, they just scheduled him with somebody. Now got scheduled, I think, yesterday. And I was like, I've never even heard of that guy. It's weird that Robbie Lawler would be fighting him or take that fight unless he thinks it's a, you know, pretty sure win. But usually a guy at Robbie Lawler's level, I mean, he's lost a couple, but he's, I mean, world champ for a while. You know, like, he's really good. It's surprising me that he would take that fight. So,
well, I mean, but didn't he, wouldn't you say, well, he trained for Neil Magny. He did his camp. He's probably feeling really good. Maybe he's fighting better than he ever has, or in his mind he is. So he's like, fuck it, I don't want to waste this.
It might be. To me, a situation like that's like everything to lose, nothing to gain. If you beat a guy that no one's ever heard of, it's like, so what, you know? Like, I always wanted to specialize. I was trying to fight like Wes Sims or guys with the biggest name and worst fighting ability. That was the way I went about it. You know what I mean? Like, give me the guy at the end of his career who has nothing left and a huge name, you know? So.
But you never loved fighting, right?
No, I hated it. Hated every minute of it. But I just liked everything that came along with it. So.
I mean, was it the girl you liked?
Was it what?
Like the girls, the attention, that kind of stuff?
I'm weird because I would rather fight someone for 15 minutes and get hurt than work a job all year. You know, like, it's just like, if you told me this next year you have to fight five times and you can make $200,000, or you can work a job you don't like all year round and make $200,000, like, no, I'll just fight five times because no matter what, it's only 15 minutes of fight. So.
So, Shane, one of the funniest things, McCorkle went into promoting, right? And he schedules an MMA event, a boxing event, hot chicks having pillow fights, right? And pro wrestling in Indiana, right? So it's a complete
show,
right? A bunch of his ex-girlfriends show up. In the middle of it, he gets out and has a list of women he fucked in that town and starts reading it. So then everyone starts booing him, right? Because girls are like with their boyfriends, this and that. Then you some of the fights were rigged, or they said they were rigged, or what happened with this promotion?
Here's how it started, right? So I was used to the old days in MMA where there was no commission, there was no anything. You just put on fights, and I wanted to do like some novelty fights, like spinning back fist only match. You know what I mean? Or whatever, two guys can only hit each other spinning back fist, and anything else is a disqualification. Or a blindfolded match. Like, I want to have two guys blindfolded and fight each other. Like, how great would that be? You know, like, right, just watching them do that. So the commission kept saying no on everything I wanted to do. So then I was like, what if I have two girls in their underwear pillow fight? And they were like, you can't do that. I'm like, well, I don't understand how you can control that if it's entertainment, like it's my intermission. They're like, well, if it happens during intermission, then that's fine. So I came up with that one. I came up with a couple different novelty ideas, you know, where they couldn't control it, but they didn't want me to promote fights anymore because I wanted to mix WWE with Jerry Springer with MMA. Like, that was my idea. So, like, no matter what, you know you're going to get a good fight. Like, back in the old days, you could literally pick two guys from the crowd who didn't like each other and have them go bare-knuckle fight. It didn't matter. There was no regulation. There was no anything in Indiana until, like, 2009 or 10, I think. So, for a good 10-year run there, you could literally do anything you wanted. You could have, like, I mean, a guy with boxing gloves fighting a guy with no gloves. You know what I mean? It could be anything you wanted, which was awesome. Some of the fights were the most amazing thing I've ever seen, like the funniest, just out of control. Because I would rather watch two guys that can't fight than two guys that can any day. Like, if you get – as long as they've got heart. Two guys that can't fight at all, but if they really want it, like, really fight. Like, I was reffing a fight one time. There used to be something called Battleground in Indianapolis, which was just, I mean, basically street fights in a small wrestling ring. Like, it was the craziest thing ever. Like, we weren't even sure on the rules. Like, it was crazy, but – these guys would be cussing each other out while they were fighting. I was reffing one time, and I was, like, in tears trying to watch these guys fight. These guys, like, you son of a bitch, like, on top, punching this dude, cussing him out. And he's like, wait till I get on top. You're going to see. Like, they're, like, arguing during the fight. And one of them bit the other one. It was, like, the craziest thing ever.
You were laughing?
Yeah, I was the ref, and I was laughing. I couldn't even – I had a fight with this guy who looked just like Chuck Norris, which I thought he was going to win just based on that alone. But – they get in the ropes, they start to follow the ring. I reset them in the center of the ring. I'm like, okay, get in the position you were in before. And this guy locks in a rear naked choke right away. And I was kind of in a hurry, like I was rough and I wanted to get out of there that night. So I was like, I asked him before they started, I said, are you okay with that position? The guy that's in the rear naked, you know, I said, are you okay with that position? He goes, hell yeah, let's do it. The guy's like Chuck Norris. And I look at the judges, I said, okay, go immediately. As soon as I said go, the guy chokes him completely unconscious in 3 seconds, you know, or whatever. So that fight was over, and everybody's booing me. And I was like, they both said okay to that position. Like, that wasn't what they were in, but that's what they started in. And he choked him out.
He said okay, so.
Yeah, he said he was ready to go. It was so out of control. I had a guy, a friend of mine, he was sitting there. He had a bottle of water. It was so hot. It was 120 degrees in that building that night. I was burning up. And he had a bottle of water. And I was like, hey, man, can I get a sip? Just waterfall your water. Just pour a little bit in my mouth, you know, not put my lips on it or whatever. And he's like, sure. He hands it to me. So I tip it back and just open my mouth. It goes straight down my throat. Turns out it's moonshine that he made.
Oh, my God.
He didn't tell me. I start coughing, feel like I'm gonna lose my lungs, man. Like, because I, you know, I'm expecting water. It's moonshine. It tastes like gasoline or rubbing alcohol. I start like coughing or whatever. He starts laughing, so I threw it at him, mad about it, because you know what I mean. Like,
the ref drinking moonshine.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm reffing, and it was terrible. But everybody hated my reffing because
once why was he drinking moonshine during the fight?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, moonshine. Yeah, and my reffing actually got better at that point. But no, I was. Some of the fights sucked. There was a guy they called Oil Can because he had like thug life across his stomach. But he came. He had just been working on his car. You could tell like all day. So he had like oil and grease all over his face and arms, and he didn't take a shower before he fought. So I was asking the other corner if they were okay because he was probably greasing. And they didn't get it, you know, like guys do that. But we kept saying, like, he ended up tapping out early in the first. I said he had to change that manifold, so you can't blame him. You know, he had to get back working on that car he was working on. And we were just laughing. It was they had a guy, his nickname was Assault and Battery, because he literally had just gotten out of jail on bail for assault and battery on his wife. And he came in, and she cornered him with a black eye. It was, like, the greatest. Like, he had just beat her up, and she's cornered him there.
It sounds like it's insane.
Dude, it was that fight. The guy that put it on was Leo Sutherland. It was a great show.
Anywhere we could watch these fights?
Do what?
Anywhere we could watch these events?
Man, there's nobody ever uploaded to YouTube. I've got a DVD somewhere. I have to find a Battleground 1. Battleground 1 was just in a warehouse with no ring, no anything. It was just these guys, like, they would film before talking about what they were going to do. And then they'd go out and they would just fight. They had, like, these little just weak gloves, like bad gloves, not even, like, MMA gloves, like a little speed bag gloves. And we're just punching each other in the face. That was the most out of control thing ever. But I couldn't even believe someone didn't get arrested or end up getting busted up in the night. Someone called the cops because there was a fight in the parking lot. But it was out of control. They would draw sometimes 500-600 people to these shows, man, in the little warehouse somewhere.
Well,
my idea was to legitimize that just a little bit. Like, I wanted to have a guy dressed like Batman fight a guy dressed like Robin. You know what I mean? Like, I thought, like, if I could dress him in Halloween costumes and have him fight real fighters, it would be like great.
Jason Ellis, I worked at Ellis Mania one year, and he would have a guy dressed up as a taco fight a guy dressed up as a pizza. And then they would have, like, and they would have musical chair fights where they'd have, like, six guys with musical chairs, and when whoever stopped, and even stopped, whoever was left standing, two people would have to fight each other.
That's awesome, man. Yeah.
I would pay to see that.
They had a thing like where they had shock collars, right? Where people had blindfolds and shock collars, and they gave people who had, like, who were, like, mentally challenged, like the shockers, and let them shock people while they were fighting each other. Like, so they're in, like, it was one thing after another. It was one of the funniest shit I've ever seen. They had, like, a transgender fight. It was just one thing after another. Ellis was, like, kind of ahead of his time in that. It was some of the funniest shit ever. It was ridiculous.
I actually, Brendan Schaub told me about that one time. He said he never had so much fun in his life shocking somebody.
So, I don't know. Okay, let me ask you quick. Why don't you like Brendan Schaub?
I can,
as a comic, as a person?
Or the long version.
Okay, I can give him the short version. I need to know because I know that you, as a comic, I can understand where people go, not the funniest. He's not the funniest. But I met him a couple times at the comic store, and he was cool. But what is him as a person? Is he a douche or what? What is it?
He is the most the most narcissistic, unself-aware retard like I've ever seen in my life. Like, he started some stuff with me. Like, there's a clip I always post online where Joe Rogan on his podcast talked about how funny I am, like, mentions me by name. Everybody sent it to me. Hey, look, Rogan's saying you're the funniest, you know, MMA fighter or whatever, like this and that. And Schaub is there, and Schaub's like, yeah. I don't know. Is he still alive? You know, like, you could see this jealousy overwhelm his face. Like, he's always hating on everybody. And he just, I started not liking him a long time ago. I was auditioning for some show that Adam got me, was out there too. You remember that show they were going to do? It was going to be like Tosh.0, but with fight videos or something. And I'm out there and auditioning, and I hear somebody come in yelling out, like, go douche, being real loud and annoying. And they're like, guys, quiet down. It's Schaub, of course, being a loudmouth. And I hear him say, this guy, like that or whatever. And then so mid-audition, I look up and say, are you talking to me? And then he just looked down at his feet. I said, yeah, keep sitting over and look at your feet, dude, because I was about to punch him in his face. You know, like, he's always run his mouth about me, but won't say anything in person. Like, just looks at the ground, won't say anything in person. But beyond that, I mean, there's something, a Reddit page that's all like 30,000 people who hate Brendan Schaub, and they post everything he does. Like, besides him being illiterate, he was telling a story the other day about some 12-year-old girl who was new to jiu-jitsu, who does a jiu-jitsu tournament, gets put in a heel hook, doesn't know that you're supposed to tap right away because it doesn't hurt until your knee's torn, you know? So she doesn't tap. She breaks her leg, rips all her tendons out in her knee. This girl's really good at submitting her, I guess. she starts screaming and crying, and Brendan Schaub's like, yeah, I was like, that's what you get, you dumb bitch. Stay in your lane, like, or whatever. Dude, you're talking about a 12-year-old girl who tried jiu-jitsu, but he's just...
He does, you know, like look, the guy obviously got some, like, I mean, the guy gets COVID, right, which is terrible. And 2 days later, he's posting about a bike ride, a 25-mile bike ride with COVID. Like, okay, one thing, if, like, you want to ride around without a mask without COVID, obviously that's your thing. If you have COVID and you go around...
Stand up meetings, yeah.
He got a lot of heat for that, but, I mean... But
what are you doing?
But I think that him being friends with Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan does let him just go full rampant on all of the times I've seen it, that's what his credibility is from. It's not from him being a strong stand-up, and it's not from him being some celebrity. Like, I think it's linked to Rogan.
Well Sean, I know you had some jokes planned today. Do you want to do them Monday, or do you want to do them now?
It's whatever you want, man. I can do them now or Monday or both.
All right, let's do it now. Cause I know. Right. I didn't think we were gonna have a podcast. I'm like, we got to have a podcast, but we need people. So I called you, and then, but I don't want to ruin the fact that you worked on these jokes. I know jokes to me are like babies, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, as long as you and Shannon, if you guys think it's funny, that's all I care about. Cause you're the comedian. So.
All right. So now one of my favorite, fighters, comedians, personalities, a guy on Facebook. If you're not following him on Facebook, you are missing some of the most ridiculous, hilarious,
ridiculous, controversial very funny, though,
I've ever seen in my life. Please give it up for Sean McCorkle. Let him know.
You know, I've been, I was thinking the other day, I was like, I don't know. I just watch a lot of stand-up comedy just over, you know, over the years. It always has, me and Adam have talked about that, like, why was something funny? Like, they talk about how great Jay Leno was in the 70s, and I watch it and I don't get it. And I'm like, is it a time thing? Is it, you know, generational? Like, is it just comedy so outrageous now? But anyway, I wanted to try to do something. I was trying to come up with some more, like, jokes with a classical theme, you know, like, so it's not just always just outrage or, you know, what I'm known for, just saying stuff that's so offensive that you laugh because you're uncomfortable. So I was going to do some of these. I'm going to try to do something, you know, a little more classic from the, you know, the older days. So my first joke, I'll need you guys to participate on a few of these, but why did the chicken cross the road in 1989?
Why?
Because Brian Callen was trying to rape it. So
that's classic. That is
okay. How about this one? How about this one? Doc Knock.
Who's there?
The Showtime executive.
Okay.
You gotta go. What's your next question?
Oh, Showtime executive.
On a Knock Knock joke.
Oh, Knock. Yeah. Showtime executive who?
The Showtime executive who gave Brendan Schaub a comedy special. I'm homeless now because I got fired. Do you have anything I can eat?
Okay, because at first you confused me.
You guys were supposed to play along with the
I know. We both did a pause like, what?
All right, let's go.
All right. I didn't want to do a Polish joke, so how about this one? How many comedians would it take to get Brendan Schaub to move to the middle of Antarctica?
One, Joe Rogan.
Oh, God, you got me. Okay. So, okay, so you got that one. Hey, did you see, off the classical theme, did you see Vanderlei Silva's son do his first amateur boxing match the other night?
No.
It's all over YouTube, man. He looked really good. He looks just like Vanderlei Silva. But he did really good, man, and I guess he knocked the guy out, like, the second round. I mean, it was headgear and big gloves, but he looked like Vanderlei fighting, a young Vanderlei fighting. And it was so impressive, actually. They asked Scott Coker about it. And he said he's going to watch his career. He said he can't wait to offer him a contract in 30 years.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's actually too soon.
Yeah. All righty.
I love these. Go on.
All righty. Here's another classical joke. What do you get when you cross a failed MMA career with being friends with Joe Rogan?
Brendan Schaub?
A Showtime comedy special.
Okay, yeah. See, you want a different Brendan. I wasn't going to say Brendan Schaub.
Alrighty. This one you may have to cut for later. I don't know. But it's true.
No, not the Callan rape one. Okay, go on.
Oh, yeah, but the Callan rape one, fine.
Well, that's, that's a believable joke.
Okay, got it.
All right. What's blue, black, and white, and red all over?
What's blue, black, and white, and red all over? I'm sure this is a domestic violence joke. Who, what?
Brendan Schaub's son's American flag underwear because he still shits his pants even though he's 6 years old.
Now we're making jokes about son. I'm not even that.
Schaub, I saw Schaub on a podcast the other day. He's like, man, potty training your kid is a real beast. I'm like, dude, wait, that kid's like 6 years old. What do you, I mean, that kid should be pushing buttons at a Jason Ellis fight. Like,
okay.
You can cut that one if you want. Okay.
I got that. Okay, please.
Okay, so speaking of people who should no longer be doing stand-up,
yep.
Did you hear that Chris D'Elia just got a job working for the Westminster Dog Show?
I did not.
Yeah, I guess he's giving up comedy. He's going to go do that. And when asked about it, the director of the dog show said they were most impressed by his resume. They said he had been grooming bitches for over 10 years. So that's what they are.
These are good jokes, man.
That's all I got for now.
Just give it up.
Good jokes, man.
I'm not cutting any of those, by the way.
Because you started off full blast, like, yeah, let's start.
There's only one joke I ever cut from you, by the way. Just so you know, it had something to do with China. All right, so
it was a great joke.
It was an amazing joke. It was just a matter of like, is this? I think we had a sponsor that day.
Right.
And, anyway. Now they're saying that John Jones might fight the winner of Ngannou Stipe Miocic. Oof. First of all, I think that Stipe beats Ngannou again. I think he's too smart to try to take his punches. He's going to wrestle him. I don't think Ngannou can catch up that quickly to Stipe's wrestling. I think he has very underrated wrestling. I think, you know, when you're a heavyweight and you wrestle Division I, it's just, it's different. Like, it's just, it's crazy. Like, you're that good, you know, you're that good of a wrestler because there aren't that many heavyweights that do it. You know, most heavyweights wrestle in that are that big go to play football. They're like, I'm not going to, right. Why am I going to be a wrestler?
And that's why Cormier lost because he didn't use his wrestling.
Stipe's wrestling was also that good. Let's give Stipe credit. He defended the takedowns as well, and he also defended
the takedown round. But when Cormier really uses his wrestling, you see it's a difference. And I just think he did. He tried to stand with him again. Some of his ego, or he didn't listen to his fucking coaches, because his coaches were yelling at him again.
But do we think John Jones beats Stipe Miocic, and do we think Ngannou beats Stipe McCorkle?
Ngannou, man, he's always got that obviously puncher's chance, and barely when he beat Cain Velasquez, that blew my mind because he barely touched him and dropped Cain. And Cain's got a decent chin, man. But I think that fight would have went much differently had Cain got a hold of him and not torn his knee up. But he tore something bad. I think ACL, MCL, something like that. He did later on. Cain later on said he admitted he was out. He didn't realize at the time during the fight, but later on he realized he was. But I don't know. I got a crush on Cain still. Like, I think he's the best fighter ever, even over Fedor. You know, like, I think he's his cardio is just the same. But I think probably, unless he lands that one crazy one early against Stipe beats him. John Jones and Stipe, man, I don't know. It's like anytime you pick against John Jones, I mean, I thought Reyes was going to beat him. You know, like, not easy, but I thought it would be, you know, like.
People thought Reyes did win, though.
Reyes
did. Yeah, I actually thought he won 3-2, but that would be a good fight. I don't know. I'd probably still go John Jones, even though I like Stipe, I know Stipe, but I would still probably say, until someone beats John Jones, man, I just don't.
Shang, before we get your thing. Now, according to Colby Covington, who was roommates with John Jones in college, when they wrestled together, Jones was steroiding out, like on roids. And Colby, you know, I know he exaggerates some of the things about how great he is, how much pussy he gets, blah, blah, blah. A lot of the things he says about other fighters are on the money. Like, he doesn't seem to lie about that. I don't think he would lie about that. He's been saying that.
He lied about Masvidal, though.
What did he say? I mean, but his lies about Masvidal are like, yeah, we were double-teaming a chick, and I lasted longer, and that's why he hates it. I mean.
No, yeah, I know, but he said stuff about his fighting, and that wasn't true because.
He said what?
He said stuff about Masvidal pertaining to fighting that wasn't true.
For example?
He said that he fades, and he doesn't fade.
Okay, well, he has faded a little bit, or not closed out strongly. If you look at, like, his third round, a lot of fights, he lost split decisions, the fights that he probably should have won. But also, he said Masvidal wasn't training and was out of shape. And Masvidal was like, what are you talking about? Masvidal loses and says, hey, it was no, you know, I had to cut 25 pounds. And the way he looked like he hadn't been training. So physically, he was not the same Masvidal that fought Nate Diaz. Let's just be honest.
Right, but he also, it was a short notice. It was a short notice fight.
Right. But so I'm saying, I don't know.
Him
right.
In a full training camp, whole different ballgame.
Okay, we're talking about Colby Covington lying about other fighters.
That's what he lied about. I don't think he does, babe.
That's an opinion thing. Okay, let's talk about, do you think he was doing steroids?
Absolutely.
In college with Colby Covington? Or, no, Colby wasn't doing it, but when he was with Colby living in the house.
All I got to say is. Fucking horse.
Sean?
Yeah. Not only – I would be shocked if John Jones wasn't still taking steroids. Everyone's always a step ahead. Those chemists that they hire, you know, you can change one – I've heard you can change one molecule of a formula or something and it doesn't show up on the test anymore, you know. So, I mean, they're always a step ahead. The cheaters are, or the smart ones, the guys that like winning and money are always a step ahead. He didn't get the picograms in his system because he ate some kangaroo that accidentally got injected with a high-dollar pharmaceutical steroid and it just went to the system. Right. How unlucky could a guy be? You know what I mean? Cormier never tested positive. He never ate that meat, apparently. You know what I mean? Like, you got Roy Nelson never tested positive, but you have a guy like John Jones who can go from being built like a 12-year-old girl to being built like, you know, like being built like a Greek god in 10, 12 weeks. Like, that's pretty amazing, you know?
But, I mean, now, do you think, though, so when we talk about John Jones, right, pre-USADA John Jones, seemed like he was blowing everyone out quickly. Stopping everybody, right? I mean, Rampage, it was pretty much, I wouldn't say a prime Rampage, but a good Rampage. Rampage basically just quit against him. It was like, fuck, I don't want to fight this guy. Right. Vitor Belfort, he had his arm, but that was the one time in the fight. He ran through a lot of guys. I mean, he ran through Ryan Bader. Just look at the guys he's beaten. Now, out of John Jones has been eking out victories. So, post-USADA John Jones, who's against Stipe Miocic, are we fooling ourselves to thinking it's going to be pre-USADA John Jones that shows up against Stipe versus post-USADA John Jones?
Well, I can go with that. John Jones 5 years ago would probably walk through Stipe, I would say, versus the version now. So,
I don't give him any credit. I mean, even when he fought Cormier, you got your fucking juiced up, dude. I think without being juiced up, Stipe beats the brakes off him. And I know people always talk shit to me anyway about this, but I think that Stipe will absolutely beat him. And I think that John Jones, the only reason that he's considered one of the greatest is because of steroids. It's not because of just skill. It's just not skill, just skill. And it was proven. That's why he keeps getting fucking up and he keeps getting, you know, hey, they tested positive again. I ate a penguin, didn't know you couldn't eat penguins. He's always making some shit.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, but the thing was, do you think, like, from day one, like, do you think the fight that he went up against Stephen Bonner, he was juicing back then? The guy that fought Matt Hamill, the guy that was just beating everybody, you think the whole time?
History shows it. Something keeps happening. It doesn't happen with every fighter like it does with him. It's always something pretending to him juicing and to the point where they took the fucking thing, the belt away from me.
But Shane, you got to give him credit. Look, if I took steroids right now, I wouldn't beat my neighbor. Okay, so it's not just like
recover faster.
But it's not just like
people, from damage.
It's not like people could just take steroids and start hitting.
Oh, you may have the skills, but you recover faster from the damage in fighting. It's different when they talk about baseball. It's not like you're going to you can hit the fucking ball further.
Since somebody on this podcast may have taken steroids before,
may have.
Sean McCorkle, what's the difference between you on and off steroids?
I would say for an average fighter, on and off, I would depend on what they're running and how they're doing it. I would say 25%, just throwing a number out there. Obviously, it's not scientific or anything, but I would say you hit 25% harder. Just everything. You're stronger. Heal. What Shane's saying is true. You heal so much faster. Like, when I was taking HGH, I could get a bruise on my arm. It'd be gone in 2 days. Whereas, especially as you get older, man, that's the biggest thing, especially as you get older. That's how guys like Vitor Belfort, you know, his testosterone was running 1,900. An average male who's 18 years old, it probably averages 800, you know? So he's got 2.5 times almost the testosterone of an 18-year-old kid, you know? So his body's going to heal faster. He's going to be able to train longer, harder, and be able to do that. So his skills are going to get better. I was never once tested in all the times that I fought, of the 27 times I fought, I never got tested once. In the UFC, it wouldn't be hard at all. until USADA came in, because all you had to worry about until they got over him when they tricked him and had him come for a press conference, and then Nevada tested him, you know, which obviously he was on everything known to man. But I actually was trying to, I was making jokes back then. I was trying to say that I wanted to drink, like, you know, because Lyoto Machida was drinking people's pee or his own pee or something to get better and get healthy or something. I was like, I want the Lesnar Overeem cocktail. Like when they both pee after they fought, I was like, give me their pee samples. I'll drink them. And then don't tell them what that would do to me, you know, whatever. But that was, yeah, he had some good advice.
I'm on TRT right now. Like I was at, because I'm on Celexa for depression or anti-anxiety and OCD. So my testosterone was down. And I got tested. I was at like 300, and they got me up to like 900, and I could feel so much better. Whereas before I was getting tired at like 10 minutes into the workout. Now I don't get tired till like 50 minutes. I mean, an hour workout, I'm like.
So that's the difference. That's the difference.
Well, and that's at 900, right? This guy's at what? Like he was at what? Like 30?
1800. After USADA started testing Belfort. So you can only imagine like what's going on. And the thing that people don't realize, and this is a lot of guys, man, that EPO is by far the best thing you can take, even over HGH. I never touched it because you could have a brain hemorrhage or whatever, blood clot and die. But the EPO stuff that Lance Armstrong was on, I've talked to guys that have taken it. They say literally your cardio will double to triple it within, it's only for about a 4 or 5 day span. And it's like 10 days after you take it. So let's say, 12 days out from my fight, I take it 2 days before it kicks in. So I have it for the next 3 days. But a guy told me if you're running on a treadmill at an incline, let's say to exhaustion, it takes you 7 minutes, you know, or let's say 10 minutes, make an even number, 10 minutes to get to at 7 miles an hour at an incline or whatever. He said you will literally during that 5 day span can run 25 to 30 minutes until you reach that same level of exhaustion with nothing but having taken that shot, because it thickens your blood, makes your body create more red blood cells, which carry more oxygen. So you just don't fatigue. And that's how you look at guys. I used to always wonder, how do these guys not get tired, man? Because I would be exhausted in a round and a half, you know? I'd be like, I look at some of these guys, and some guys I know that I trained with, I could outlast them in the gym, but when they're fights, they never got tired. I'd be like, how in the world do you not get tired? I outlast you in the gym in a fight, you're not tired at all at any point. And then they said, oh, you never heard of liquid cardio? And I was like, no. And they start telling me about it. And then you look up side effects. You're like, oh, yeah, you can – sudden death is a possible side effect.
Yeah, so
I'm like, yeah, I'm good on that, man. That's
John, how's your weight right now?
Mine?
Yeah.
Out of control. Yeah, no, it's not good. I've actually lost some because I think I'm going to die. Like, I started, like, thinking one day, like, I woke up in the night, like, you know, if you don't want to start eating right, you're going to die. So, like, I've been cutting out carbs, man, but it's hard, especially with my back. I got to go back to Germany, man. My back is back to, like, hell on earth, man. Like, it is a butt shot. The things I did over at Germany at Regenikine lasted about 18 months, but it's back as bad as 7 days.
We hung out that one night in L.A. You must have been on, like, 20 painkillers.
It was terrible, man. Yeah,
and you were fighting a week later. And you couldn't walk down the street. Yeah. And I was like, bro, are you out of your – you can't fight. You're like, no, I just got to land one punch. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, please don't fight. You're like, no, man, they're giving me X amount of money, and it's Roy Jones Jr., and I can beat this guy with one. And I'm like, bro, we're walking into a diner, and it took you 30 minutes to go to the diner. Like literally out of the car. And you're like, no, man. And then you're like, we stopped at the dispensary, right? You're like, hey, I went to go buy him an edible, Shang, right? I'm like, okay, this. He walks in with me, takes out a credit card, buys like $3,000 worth of fucking edibles, right? I was like, I felt so fucking bad for you, man. And then, so like, people are like, make fun of your weight. I'm like, you don't understand the fucking pain this guy's in. Like, you are in so much – I felt so bad for you, dude.
Have you got cortisone shots? Have you got those? That's what I had.
I've had 60 cortisone shots, 60-plus. I've had microablation where they burn the nerve endings off. I've had chiropractic for a year straight, 5 days a week. I've had – I went to Germany and did this thing. That's where the only thing that helped is this thing called Regenikine. It's this German doctor. I got a funny story about a German thing in a minute if you guys want to hear it. But this German doctor over there, he treats, I mean, when I got there, David Hasselhoff was there, Jennifer Lopez had just been there, Mike Tyson had just been there. It's all celebrities or Saudi Arabian princes or rich people that go to him because it's so expensive. And obviously insurance is not paying for it, but they basically take a bunch of your blood out, they spin it in some kind of centrifuge machine, shoot it back into your joints, and it blocks your inflammation receptors for up to 2 years. 2 to 4, they said. Mine lasted about 18 months, and then it started getting hurting again. Then it's back to where literally, like, my back hurts so bad every day. I dream my back is hurting. Like, at night, I dream every night I'm carrying stuff that's heavy or getting stabbed in the back or something's happening. That's all I dream about. That's how bad it hurts. So before this COVID thing was, I was set to go back over there and have it done again. And then my last resort is I'm going to go to South America and get those stem cells done that everybody keeps. There's some guy down there he's world famous, Colombia or something.
Be careful. Be careful with that shit. Seriously.
Yeah.
But no, now you're 6'3". At one point, you were like 6'7", 350, right? You're what, 6'9"?
About 6'7", or so.
6'7". Your beautiful girlfriend is probably 102 pounds and 5'2". How do you bang her? How does that,
Anytime people ask me how that works, I always say, it works out great for me. I don't know how so much for her, but it works out great for me.
Definitely a lot of, you got to do doggy style then. You got
to doggy style. You just lie there and she just goes to work.
Actually, mostly it's me just going, my back. That's like pretty much all the time. So,
but dude, this guy, like Shang, he is the funniest thing because, like, people think that Sean is like this crazy guy. Dude, he's never cheated on a girlfriend. He never fucks over anybody. He's the most loyal guy around. But he just pisses everybody off on the internet all day. But
I like to lead people to believe. I like to take whatever the most controversial position is on anything and then defend it. You know what I mean? Just to see how far I can get people to go. You know what I mean? I just like to really irritate people.
And you probably get people that are on your side.
Like, defend themselves. You're like, by the way, I fucked your mom and your dad last night. I'm just like, dude, why is he fucking people's dads?
First of all, moms, but dads? Oh, that's over the line.
Somebody posted that on my Facebook wall last Father's Day. They said I had no idea. We're no longer friends. There was an article somebody had written about me that said Sean McCorkle's the guy banging your dad. And they had said, they had taken off some interview I did where I said, some guy had said something to me, I don't know, whatever. He tried to, your mom is that, so I banged your dad. So what's up now? And he was like, oh, yeah, saying something. I was like, well, at least my dad's not gay. Like, I just kept saying, like, over and over again to him, you know, or whatever. Like, it, I don't know. I got an article that says Sean McCorkle's always wanted to kick Oprah Winfrey in the head. There's one that says I would do gay porn for white
price. Me too. I mean, that's
everybody else.
You gotta write a book. Dude, he goes in, first of all, he goes on this website, The Underground, right? And takes pictures of a huge fighter, but the guy's on his knees next to him, right? So he's like, I'm 7'5". He goes around pretending he's a 7'5" fighter looking for Kimbo Slice. Like, it's not enough, he's just 6'7". Now he's 7'5", right? Then he fucking trolls way to the UFC, beats fucking Mark Hunt in a minute. Joe Rogan was like, this should not have happened. Like, this guy was just talking shit on the internet and just beat, like, the number, like, 4 or 5 guy in the world or something under a minute. Dude, then he goes, when he's in Poland, he's fighting the world's strongest man, and the interviewer is like, what's your plan? He goes, well, this fight's going to come down to whose steroids work the best.
That was right before I said that I smothered my grandma with a pillow to end her suffering at the end of cancer, and they thought I was serious. So it got ugly after that. But you
do all this stuff, but like you do it like all under the radar, which is even funnier. Like you're just trying to make yourself laugh.
You're not in danger. You're not in danger. Nobody's going to let me get that McCorkle. I mean, I like the fact you do that.
I'll tell you a funny one you might want to cut out after too. I don't know, Adam, but you remember when Miguel Torres said he quoted a TV show that said if rape vans were called surprise vans, no one would be as mad because everyone loves surprise or something. It was some not funny line from some movie. That UFC suspended him, and so Ariel Helwani asked me in an interview what I thought about that. I said I was outraged. I said I read the UFC said he was the first fighter to ever make a rape joke under contract the UFC. I said he was the second fighter. I said I was the first, so I was outraged that they claimed he was the first. Because when I fought Stefan Struve back in the day, they maybe cut this part out. But when I fought Stefan Struve on Ariel's show, it's still out there somewhere on the MMA Hour. I was using what they called at the time the rape choke. They don't let you do that anymore. They don't let you call it that. But I was holding Struve down by the neck so he couldn't sweep me, and the ref kept telling me, Yves Levine kept saying you can't do that. Like, stop grabbing his neck. And I was like, you can do that. Like, that's legal. And I told it was me and Matt Mitrione all at the same time. I told Ariel, I said that I always thought that the rape choke was the most underutilized technique in all of MMA. And Ariel's like, I see. And I said, and in rape. like, you know, or whatever. And then immediately, like, Ariel just sat and stared at me, and Mitch Rion, of course, loves it or whatever. And I was like, yeah, maybe I cut that off, Ariel. He goes, this is live. Where I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't realize it was live. So,
Ariel,
looking back, it was a simpler time, so I probably shouldn't have said that. But
It won't be cut out of the show. So you already started off with a Brian Callen great joke. I think Adam's good with it.
I mean, look, you know, they're your jokes. I can't be censoring other people on the show. It's just not my job, you know. What are you going to do? Get mad at me for someone else something said? Like what?
Yeah. No, they can, because Adam, it'll be it's MMA versus Adam.
Oh, that's my job now.
People will, like, they'll find reasons to be like, it's Adam's fault. Fuck Adam.
But on MMA Roasted, this was said. They won't say who said it. They'll say this was said. But anyway, let's talk about fighting this week. Anthony Smith is taking on Alexander Rakic. How do you say it? I don't know how you even say it. Anthony Smith is coming off a tough loss to Glover Teixeira. That was a fight where I thought Smith was just going to – I mean, it looked like he was going to beat him in the first round. And then, you know, he blew his wad, and then that fight should have been stopped way sooner than it was. He's coming out. This other guy is from Australia. He lost to Volkan Ozdemir in a split decision. He beat Jimmy Manoa by a head kick. He beat Devin Clark by TKO. Two really good fights. He beat Barroso. He beat Justin Ledet. Dangerous fight for Anthony Smith, because there's a guy that fought for the title. And I don't know if he wants to be telling people this, but there was some time that John Jones fight, he wasn't at 100%. Let's just say that. He couldn't move his neck the day of the fight. And had some other stuff going on. I hope Anthony Smith wins. I know the last fight he had, somebody like broke into his house the week before. And
yeah, I saw that interview.
Problem. It was just a fucking disaster. Who do we like in this fight, McCorkle?
I'm going Anthony Smith, man. I'm a big fan of that dude. My girlfriend pointed out to me the other day that he follows me on Twitter, and I was like, how do you know? And she's like, oh, because I follow him. And I was like, why? And then we got a big fight. Not really, but I played it off, and I told her, I didn't care, but she would care if it was the other way around. Like, if I was following a female, and why are you following her? So I was trying to give her a hard time about it. I try to always be the woman in the relationship. Like, I always pull out stuff like, do you think he's good looking? Oh, well, he's better looking than me. So I can only imagine what you think of me if you don't think he's good looking. On and on. But yeah, I always put it out there first. But yeah, no, Anthony Smith all the way, man. That story, man, of that guy breaking his house freaked me out when I heard it, man. That was like better than any horror movie I've ever read the script to. Crazy, man. So
yeah, but I mean, of all people, you break into an MMA fighter's house.
That guy was also like a college wrestler or something, or a high school wrestler. That wasn't like some. It was like a college wrestler on meth.
What's the practice?
Right. Oh, God.
But
so, Shane, you like Smith in this fight?
I like Smith. I think that sometimes to me, when fighters lose, and even though I thought he literally was winning at first, I think that motivates them even more to stay on point and to follow the game plan. So hopefully he follows the game plan. But those high kicks, I don't know. If he gets caught with one of those, it's a wrap. I mean – honestly, but other than that, I like him. Some people I just like, and I want him to win. But I think that he will have the skills to come back.
Well, it's crazy because he said to me, Anthony Smith, back in the day, we had him on when he was like in the VFC, like back, you know, Valor Fighting Championship, and he was trying to get back in the UFC. And I remember like when he got into the UFC, I was like, hey man, great fight, yada yada. After, and he texted me, he's like, thanks for giving a shit about my fights. And I was like, man, that's pretty fucking cool. Like, he's just a real So Robbie Lawler is fighting Neil Magny this week.
Wait, it's Neil Magny?
Yeah. It was supposed to be it was supposed to be Neil Magny against I wanna say it was against the guy that knocked out Mike Perry, that was like really good. Jeff Neal, I think it was, and then Jeff Neal bailed out. So, Neil Magny, Robbie Lawler. This is going to be a good fight. Both of them, I think, are a little past their prime. I thought that was. Neil Magny looked great in his last fight. Lawler has not looked good in his last couple fights, but he's always, like, one punch away. He's one of those dudes that just shows up randomly in a fight where you're like, you think he's done, and he's not done.
He's not. Yeah, he's not done. Right.
Neil Magny, I thought, was done for a while. He looked great in his last fight. Who are we picking in this one? If I had to pick, unfortunately, I'm picking Neil Magny, because I like Robbie Lawler. I like Neil Magny too. He's a veteran. But I think Neil Magny's gonna win this fight.
Well, I think Neil Magny too. It's one of those situations where, like, man, I really am rooting for Robbie Lawler, but Neil Magny does still look good. He hasn't looked. Robbie Lawler has looked bad, worse each time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and whereas Neil Magny is more creeping up to looking better each time. So I say Neil Magny, even though I'm a fan of Robbie Lawler. I'm a fan of Robbie Lawler.
McCorkle?
I'm going to go Lawler to go against hoping he pulls one more out. Like, hoping he goes one more. Kind of like Frankie Edgar the other night. Shocked the heck out of me, man. So yeah. He won. So.
Nice. I'm a fan of this too. Then we got Alexa Grasso, who looked great against Ji Young Kim. Do we know her?
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to keep going. Ricardo Lamas was supposed to fight Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall, who I love watching fight because he's like a UFC one guy where he's like great at one thing, but nobody seems to be able to figure him out. He's out. So now Ricardo's fighting Bill Algeo. I don't know that guy. I got to look him up. A fight that I'm looking forward to because it was stopped early was Magomed Ankalaev against Kudalaba. Remember that fight was like ref fucked that up?
I felt like the ref should have gotten in the choke. He should have got choked out for that.
Yeah, and these guys hate each other. I still think Kudalaba wins this one. Sean?
I don't know either of them, so I couldn't tell you. But it doesn't surprise me a ref messed something up. They got the worst refs. I mean, the only worst refs in all of sports are WWE refs. Than the UFC refs, man. It's ridiculous. So.
No, this one was like really bad. It was it was such a bad stoppage. And then, I'm going to go with the cobbler. I'll call him the cobbler. I think he's going to win. Yeah, I think he's going to win.
And Zach Cummings, who I love that dude. He's like the dad bod champion. You think he's like, he's in every fight somehow. You went on tour with him, right? Cummings?
Yeah, he was the one that I got in trouble trying to get on the submarine, trying to smuggle. I said he was part of the international cock smuggling ring, and he had at least four in his butt that I knew of, and then they called in an officer. It got weird, but I was just trying to make people laugh. So
he's fighting.
But yeah, I like Zach a lot.
Alessio Di Chirico, who's lost. He's from Italy. Lost his last two fights. Lost to Muradov. Lost to Kevin Holland. Beat Julian Marquez. But I thought Marquez won that fight too, and he beat Bang Boss with a knee. But I still think Cummings wins this fight. You?
I mean, a lot of the fights are pretty cut dry to me. It's like. Yeah, I think Cummings wins.
I'll go with Zach. He's my guy.
And then Bruce Leroy is fighting Kevin Kroon. Bruce Leroy is coming off a win against Chase Hooper. He kind of like really outclassed Chase Hooper. Chase Hooper also is 20 years old, kind of one-dimensional right now. Striking is yet to be desired, but has a big future and a big heart. And I like Chase. But so he's fighting this guy, Kevin Kroon, who is beat. He's coming over from Bellator, but I don't know much about him. So I'm just gonna pick Bruce Leroy for this one.
Yeah, I don't know much about. I know Bruce Leroy, but I think Bruce Leroy looked good the last fight. But I mean, he finds a way to lose too. Don't get it twisted.
He does, right?
He does, man. Where you're like, motherfucker, you're winning.
Yeah, he kind of has that like Michael Johnson thing.
Yes,
great in the first round.
Yeah, like great first round, keeping the distance. He's closing the gap. And then all of a sudden, it just falls apart. So I put it up in the air, but I don't know the other guy. But I'm just saying, he's like the Democrats. They find a way to lose.
They find a way to lose because they have Billie Eilish speak at their convention. It's like, wants to hear with a 17-year-old girl with green hair tell me about my taxes.
Yeah, but so far, don't start that shit because the Republicans fucking – convention so far has been a clusterfuck. It's just been weird.
One thing,
and that lady yelling, and they're gonna come and rape you in the suburbs.
What's crazy is she was married to Gavin Newsom. Like, you know, she was married to Gavin Newsom, and now she's dating Trump's son. What do you think Gavin Newsom's thinking? Like, is he happy? He's probably happy he divorced her. Obviously,
he's probably like, "Woo, dodge that fucking missile."
But at the same time, it's like, what? Like,
what was she screaming for? Nobody was there.
Well, because she's not a professional. When you people, you know, she's not.
Then why do you have her speaking? Why don't you have some top Republicans speaking? You know why? Because they don't want to fucking be there. That's why. They don't want to be part of that. Why aren't they?
I didn't see it, but I know what to avoid now watching. I definitely don't want to see someone.
No, she really was screaming. I mean, people can look it up. She literally was screaming. They're going to rape you. They're going to come to the suburbs. And the black people with their big dicks are going to stick in your house and have
what you're doing.
I don't think that's what she was saying.
I know. She didn't say that. But I'm saying is
that's what Shane heard.
No, that's what I heard. No, she was screaming. I'm joking now, but she was screaming the whole time.
But at the same time, look, I mean, the Republican convention, you're like when he pardoned the guy to open the convention, had nothing, like, he's just doing things that, like, I mean, he knows how to put on a reality show. It got 6 times the rating so far of the Democratic National Convention. Because he's putting on a reality show.
No, I didn't hear that. I heard it didn't.
No, Monday night on C-SPAN, just on C-SPAN. Well, I mean, it's according to C-SPAN, 6 times the rating. Because people are tuning in to going, what coked up Trump's going to say now? Like, who's going to scream at you?
You say coked up Trump?
Yeah, like, which son that's like, I'm Adderall and blow. And then the couple with the machine guns are talking and people are yelling at you.
But that doesn't mean
pardoning people.
Good.
He's giving people citizenship. No, but he knows how to put on a fucking reality show. You gotta give
he walks time. Out and he starts with nunchucks to start it off.
It's awesome.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you think it's all calculated or do you think he just gets really fortunate as far as like some of the stuff he says is so insane that it's like I'm like, did he know that was going to get the reaction or did it just so happen that it got the, you know, like he's either like a crazy genius or retarded and it just keeps falling his way. Like,
either, it's like that's not a good choice of two.
I think in the past, like, politicians did have like 3 or 4 people they run things by, you know, to tell you, hey, this is a bad idea, this is a good idea. This is what the focus group is thinking. This dude just does whatever he wants. Like, he has nobody telling him no. And he just, it's no filter. And those are very entertaining people. Like,
I love to this day, I love it so much when they asked him about that Beto O'Rourke and he said, there's a lot of hand movement there. Not sure what that's about. Like, it had nothing to do with what the question had nothing to do with the policy. Because what do you think about Beto O'Rourke saying this or that? Like, his policy goes, well, there's a lot of hand movement there. Not sure what that's about. And then, like, I was just like, that's a genius answer. Like, it had nothing to do with anything. Like, it was just like.
He paid off a porn. Look, he fucked a porn star 3 days after his wife gets pregnant. Then he pays her off. She sues him. He wins somehow. And then
she has to pay his legal fees.
Yeah, and then he tweets out. That's what you get, horse face. What is going on? Like,
but I can tell you right now, I will look up that. I don't know about the Republican goodness because I just watched it yesterday. What they said.
I'll send my friend a text. I don't know about Tuesday night, right? But I send Monday night. Greg, okay.
Yeah, the first one because it was crazy. It's like, yeah, it was like
Monday night. So.
He came out with a hooly hoop.
Night of RNC gets nearly 6 times more views on C-SPAN than DNC a week prior.
On C-SPAN.
But C-SPAN is like liberals watching. That's like a Democrat. Like that's.
Of course the liberals are watching, but I will put my glasses on.
That's on C-SPAN. That's not even on like Fox News.
I mean, no, I know, but I know. I literally said it's not getting the same ratings. So. I mean, whatever. It's a clusterfuck. He says crazy shit. He's going to end up winning because the Democrats don't know
how to win. I don't know if he's going to win. I
think he's going to win, and he's going to win. He's not going to win big. He's not going to win big because there's so many people outraged, but he's going to he's going to win. They're going to limit the votes. He's going to do whatever he can. He's going to move voting booths out of all black neighborhoods.
Here's my issue right now, right? So what happened in Wisconsin right now, right? Well, obviously, the cops should not have shot that guy 7 times in the back. That was insane, right? There's a lot to the story, and I'm going to wait to say something. I want to see everything that happened before I comment, okay? But it's just, we got to get better cops. You know, the fact that he was able to out-wrestle 3 cops on the ground and he was tased, allegedly, and still got away. Like, who are they hiring? Is it the police academy, like the movie with Jeff Guttenberg? Like, who are they? Like, because Tackleberry would have had him. You know, like, who are they? Right.
That's a joke only people over 40 will get.
They should get more training to be able to.
Who are they? How is this guy able to get tased and take down 3 cops and walk away? Like, what the fuck kind of cops are these? Like,
this is what blows my mind on the whole thing. If you're a cop right now and you're shooting somebody, I would triple consider it, even if it was completely justified. I'd be thinking, I'm probably going to get sent to for jail for murder, even if it's justified with the way things are going, you know? So who are these guys out there? You're still shooting people? Like, well, in questionable circumstances?
Well, we don't know if he had a gun in the car. Okay.
They already said he didn't have a car. They absolutely said
he didn't have a gun.
His three kids were in the car. He didn't have a gun in the car. Okay. They already got that. That's already done.
All right, so now people are going nuts in Wisconsin, right? So they're
right, and they're, then some kid just shot two people, injured one, and they gave
a crazy militia kid shot. But also, they burned down a car dealership, they burned down a church, they burned down. The protesters.
The rioters had their hands up, was not doing it. There's a difference between a protester and a rioter. Right.
The rioters did. Okay, so the rioters did that. Some of the rioters were white, some of them were black, some of them...
It's a mix.
Right. There needs to be somebody to get on television. I feel like in the past, a president would get on TV and go, guys, everybody, let's stop this, okay?
Let's
cops are wrong. We think they were wrong. They're gonna get due process. That we're this, but burning down and shooting things, everything's unacceptable. And we don't have that person right now. I don't know if Joe Biden's that person. Doesn't seem like he's that person. Trump's not that person. Like, there has to be somebody that will just. I feel like maybe Obama was that person, or Clinton, or.
I'm not a big Joe Biden fan.
Even George W. could have been that person.
He already said it. He would have definitely tried to be more of a consoler instead of a divider. So he did say it. Trump hasn't done that. I live in this world. I get what Trump is doing. He's a fucking psycho. He's a reality star, and that's it. And people are stupid on a whole, because I know how stupid I am with some shit. And I'm smart on other stuff, but primarily people are fucking dumb.
But don't you think, Sean, we need somebody to just take control of this? And
if you're the president right now, you should
be diplomatic about it and be diplomatic about it without saying, well, you know, like, there has to be someone to say, hey, listen, guys, like, let's not burn down the whole fucking city. Cops, let's figure out what's going on here. Like, just, right? Somebody's got to do this.
Biden's not president. Kamala's not vice president. He's president. Pence is vice president. I haven't heard either one of these motherfuckers.
But do you think Biden will be that guy? Like,
I think Biden, because Biden has shown he at least has empathy. Trump does not have empathy, so in turn, he's not going to do that. He's going
to stoke
the fires. And he's
going to... I think they're all criminals, like on the bigger level. That's the biggest problem. And anybody who wants to be a politician, I don't remember who it was. I think it was a famous general. I think it was Eisenhower. Said anyone that wanted to be a president, it's either an egomaniac or completely insane. You know, like anybody would want that job. And I think if you look at people who are politicians, they're the people that wanted to be the call monitor, the people that wanted to like be class president, the brown nosers, ass kissers, people like that. They follow their career path and end up being in power, you know. And it's just not all like that, but a lot of them, man. It's I don't know, whatever happens in November, I'll tell you what, I think you're gonna have half the country outraged regardless and claiming it was robbery, whichever way it goes. If Trump loses, it was robbery, if either way. So I think you're going to have probably what you're seeing in Wisconsin for a few days after the election, regardless of how it goes. So,
but how would you stop, like right now? How would you stop, if you were president, how would you stop the riot?
Golly, man, good luck. I don't know. I don't know. They've got to find a way to differentiate, like Shane was saying, protesters from rioters. Because, I mean, I'm not, I think I told you guys last time, I get harassed by the cops all the time. And it irritates me, you know what I mean? I'm like, well, I've never had a positive interaction with a police officer that I didn't personally know. Like, every time, they're a dick to me. They talk shit to me in my own yard. I'm standing in my own yard. Like, am I not allowed to stand in my yard at 10 o'clock at night? Why are you pulling up asking me questions, you know? And I live in a nice neighborhood. Like, it isn't like I live in the ghetto, you know, or whatever. But it's just, you know, they say the fish rots from the head down, man. And we've been rotten for a long time. This country has. There's no morals. I mean, you think about it. You got kids watching porn from the time they're 7 years old on their iPhones, you know what I mean? So you have an over-sexualized, playing super violent video games, and that doesn't make everybody crazy and violent, but it does desensitize people to violence, you know what I mean? I believe anyway, I would never let my son or daughter play any of the violent video games growing up, not because I thought they were going to be a serial killer, just because I don't want them being desensitized to stuff like that. I want them to feel sad when they see someone get shot, not think it's exciting. Like, glorify, you know, you got movies, TV that glorify war, glorify violence. UFC glorifies violence. I knew I was getting older when I went to watch a UFC after I retired, and it turned my stomach watching it. You know what I mean? Like a guy beating another guy up. And I thought, what kind of entertainment is this? Two people, you know what I mean? Like hurting each other till, I mean, it was a real, I don't remember who it was, but somebody was getting their ass really kicked and they weren't stopping it. But even that Anthony Smith fight we talked about, that made me uncomfortable watching that. I was like, man, this is, it's too much. You know what I mean? Like what's next? Are we going back to gladiator days, you know? Like it's just, I don't know. You've got to, this country needs Jesus, I think, or something, man. Like the whole revival, the whole country or something, man. I don't know.
No, I see what you're saying about fighting, but I think that's why I don't like to see people that aren't skilled fighting.
Right.
I like to see people who are skilled because, like, I watched this video where they said fighters that stopped hitting the other fighter because they knew it was over. Right. Right. And there's got to be a certain level of, like, honor and respect to fighting. Like, my opinion about fighting, the reason I like the fighters that – I like GSP because most of the time you never really saw GSP talking shit. I don't think I ever seen – he was more, this is a sport. I'm going to outdo you in the sport. I'm not trying to knock your block off. I like Masvidal and Diaz because it was like, yo, we're both badasses. Let's get it on. But then after that, shake hands. You got me, but let's do it again. I like that attitude about fighting more than I do. Somebody's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to rape your mother. I'm going to eat your kids. That's bullshit to me. Use your skills to out, use your skills to outskill the other guy. And that's the part that attracted me.
Speaking of which, not raping your mother, but somebody that eat your kids. Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones. Yes. I know, Sean, you're friends with Roy Jones.
Yeah, a little bit.
You guys text each other. Who wins this fight?
Oh, man, I got to think Tyson. I mean, if I don't know. You know, Tyson's so crazy and so not crazy. I don't want to say that, but he's crazy. But, no, he there's no telling what he could or couldn't do. Like, he may say he feels bad hitting him in the middle of the fight. You know, he quit against that Danny – one of his last fights I watched, and he was winning the fight, but he just quit after third or fourth round and said, man, I just can't do this to people anymore, you know, or whatever. So I think it'll probably end up being a shit show either way. Roy obviously has slowed down a lot, man. I mean, a lot. It is his whole game was always speed and reflexes, and he's slowed down a lot. Tyson looks – not as quick as ever, but close, man. So Tyson, I promise you, is getting some chemical help, looking at the way his body's changed in the past couple months or whatever. He's guaranteed he's on HGH for sure. Roy, to my knowledge, has never taken anything and doesn't take anything. I never understood why he didn't when he was still boxing. But
you think that's why it's an exhibition? Because they know they would never pass any kind of drug test?
Yeah, well, maybe not even the drug test. I think it's just – I don't know, man, to make it a – they wanted to wear headgear and bigger gloves and everything because I think they don't want someone dying. You know, you get in your 50s, man, you don't recover like you used to on anything, even an injury or anything, a brain injury or anything like that. So I think it's – I think they would like him to do like a light sparring thing just to show for the fans, but that's not what anybody wants to see. They want to see Mike Tyson come in like a tank like he used to be and, you know, blast him. So I think the whole thing will probably end up being a nightmare, probably the way it'll end up.
I think Roy Jones still has boxing skill. And anytime I see Mike Tyson fight somebody – like Lennox Lewis, who knows what a jab is, stays away, keeps the distance. He's got his ass kicked. Even with Buster Douglas, he jabbed him, and then overhand right, bam.
Yeah, but he beat a lot of skilled guys.
He beat a lot of skilled guys, but then I'm talking about people who actually didn't try to bang with him. There's some guys that let their ego get in there, and they try to bang with him, and when he gets in under, you know that Tyson roll, it gets in close, but I'm telling you, everybody he fought that kept that distance and kept that jab going. Look at Lennox Lewis. You look at the people that
kept – Larry Holmes had the best jab ever, and Tyson
– he also fought a Larry Holmes. That was a little bit bad. Prime. It wasn't prime Larry Holmes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Tyson's a lot bigger than him too, man. He's a lot bigger than Roy Jones.
But Roy Jones, even though he slowed down, I watched a couple him spar a little bit, and he still has that boxing, you know, IQ. And if he could just roll off of him and – jab, 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 roll off, body, jab. You know, I mean, that's why people can make fun of Floyd Mayweather all you want. That motherfucker's a tactician.
All right. Next question. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Shang.
No, you're right.
So Oscar De La Hoya says he's coming back at 47.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yeah.
No way.
People are saying he might box McGregor. Who wins in a boxing match? Right now, McGregor or De La Hoya?
I say De La Hoya. I believe personally that Floyd carried Conor. If you watch him fight a couple fights before that, and then I know he's 40 and all that, but Floyd could end that fight pretty much anytime he wanted, man. But he can't he can't come out there knocking out in one round and the fans all feel ripped off, you know, like he didn't throw it, literally did not throw one punch in the first round, you know, or whatever. And like not one. And then he still wanted to judge a scorecard in Nevada. It's so corrupt out there, but didn't throw one punch. So he carried him. I think he wanted to carry him 6 or 7 rounds. And then when he decided to end it, he could end it. But that's a Floyd looked like he was doing light sparring and kind of like he was going 100%, you know, so.
You think
it was De La Hoya, funny, but they made a lot of money though. So.
You think De La Hoya? Yeah. So you're saying De La Hoya at 47 still wins?
I think he still beats Conor. Yeah, if he comes in shape, yeah, for sure.
Chang,
I think that De La Hoya will win, but De La Hoya is a fucking train wreck too. But
they asked Dana White about it. He goes, "What could I say? Cocaine ain't cheap."
Yeah,
that's excellent. No, I think De La Hoya wins, but I mean McGregor. He looked good the first round, I think, with Floyd. And I think it was because Floyd's, like, letting him. And I think De La Hoya won't let him. I think De La Hoya will be like, no, fuck that. And I think he will start teeing off on McGregor. And speaking of fading, I think McGregor is the epitome of fading.
Oh, in a boxing match.
In a boxing match. No, but even in the UFC, there's a couple times where he started fading. The only time he came back was with the Diaz fight. And I just, you know, he faded them even in that fight.
He faded in the first Nate Diaz fight. That's
the
it.
The first fight. The second one,
the Khabib fight, I don't think he faded. He just got.
He just got mauled.
So he faded in one fight.
No.
The Nate Diaz fight. That's it.
He still fades. You know he fades.
Well, he faded against Mayweather, too. He got gassed after six or seven with Mayweather.
Well, listen. This has been awesome. McCorkle, thank you. I've learned a lot. McCorkle,
you are funny. I don't know. I obviously, you piss people off, but that is funny to me. I don't know what's wrong.
Of course.
But I think your posts are fucking excellent, bro.
Absolutely.
I try.
Even your commentary on Pat Miletich's posts are funny. Because you talk about Pat Miletich. If you guys want to follow a conspiracy theorist who hates wearing masks, go on Facebook and follow Pat Miletich. And then watch McCorkle stick up for him every time fighting fucking militants in the battle. Yeah. It's like, you guys are hilarious together.
What's awesome is even if I'm wrong on the point, I can always tell you who your kids look like. Or, like, that's why your kid looks like a retarded version or whatever. Like, I found out a guy started going over the line with me. He crossed the line, said something about my dad who had just died. And so I was like, okay, we're going there with it. That's cool. So I went after him on his mom who had just died. And so I said, hey, here's a picture. I didn't know your mom came to your last fight. It was a picture of a skeleton at a fight next to a boxing ring. And I just kept going on and on, just destroying him. He ended up blocking me. It always ends the same. I got into it. You probably missed it. I got into it on Twitter. You know who that boxer is? There was a cop. It doesn't matter what color he was, but he was black. There was a black cop who said, all you guys out there, he's at a boxing gym, real muscular dude. All you people out there saying, you know, you if I didn't have a badge or gun,
you
whip my ass, come to my gym and whip my ass, you know, whatever. So this guy that's a former Olympian, who got hit across the face with a pool cue, and I guess it ruined his eye or something. But he's a former 140-pound
Olympian.
Who is it?
David Reed?
I think so, yeah. He's a little famous, but he said, I'll whip your ass anytime you want. It wasn't even his fight. It had nothing to do with it. He starts right mouth off this cop. I'll kick your ass, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I hit the David Reed guy up on Twitter. I said, hey, how about I kick your ass, you know, or whatever, since you're challenging someone who's not even a pro, you know, or whatever, who's not even just some cop. I'll kick your ass. And he was like, boxing, yeah, I won't fight you in the bay. I was like, why? So we and him went back and forth for days. And then he starts saying, he somehow got an impression, he thought I was someone else, and he got an impression my dad left me when I was a kid, which didn't happen. Like, I know my parents were married until my dad died, but he kept saying that, and he kept insinuating, like, he kept saying, that's why your breath smells like latex. I was like, whoa, that's homophobic, buddy. Like, calm down. Why, what? All of a sudden, you're saying, you know, like, because I seem awfully afraid of gay people. So we're going back and forth. I keep challenging to a fight, 150 grand. MMA or boxing, but if we do boxing, we have to do MMA first, like the first day, because I know he won't make it for the boxing match. I'll break his arm, you know. So we're going back and forth for days. He ended up blocking me because his dad has AIDS. And I said, I think it's ironic. You're making fun of people's dads and talking about somebody being gay. Your dad has AIDS, and you're trying to say it. And he blocked me immediately. He couldn't take it anymore. You know, like, that was what pushed him over the edge. But yeah, me and him were going for a while. It was ridiculous. But I always warn people, man. I'll usually send people a DM when they start it with me, like, hey, I don't want to hurt your feelings. This is going to end really badly for you. Please stop. You know what I mean? Like, please stop saying, don't say personal stuff. Don't say stuff about my kids. Don't say that I'm going to destroy you. And then they start, and then I don't know, it becomes my mission. I've got too much time on my hands, too. So
you got a lot of biking in you. That's how Vikings are. No, I must kill you and your whole village. That's what Vikings used to do. They say, no, I don't just have beef with you. Now that you started, I got to kill all the people who ever wore blue or green.
Anyone who even knows you. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, listen, guys. You guys are awesome. Take care. Have a great week, guys. Appreciate it.
Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр бүлэн. Та дас тоотан дөр бүлэн мөрөв.